Hey friends, and welcome to It's Better When You're Here podcast. My name is Pastor Michael, and I get to be the pastor of Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church, one church at two locations in Central Florida. This is the sermon that we preached this week. I hope that the message inspires you and encourages you and reminds you that God loves you. All right, here's the message.
You may be seated. I get the distinct honor and pleasure of welcoming to bring us the message this morning. Lee Bradley is such a dynamic human being and such a lovely spirit and soul, and takes such good care of people around him. And so today is a wonderful day. So let's welcome Lee.
Go ahead and move that if you need
okay,
to.
Okay, I do. Yes.
Yeah. There you go, sir.
Very much. All right. Some of y'all might think you're in trouble. Here comes a guy in a suit, and I don't think you've seen a preacher in a suit here since the last time I was here, probably. And then he comes with a big Bible. Oh, no, we're in for it today. Thank you so much. Thank you. I drove a couple of people crazy in the last service because my tie was crooked, and it probably still is. But the reason that I make it crooked is so that you'll be talking about that instead of how much weight I've gained since I last saw you. Anyway, I'm very glad to see you. By the way, that Ruth Bible study is here, and I'm going to be leading it, and we'll start this Wednesday night. If you've not been in Bible study and you'd like to be in one, come join us. And if you think, I don't want to get in something long-term, come be with us anyway, because we'll be there 5 weeks, and I think we'll finish up. So come join us. We're going to have a good time in the new Bible study. So come join us. I wanted to kind of talk to you today about something that's very special to me, but it's a story that we've heard of before. Any of y'all remember a guy named Jimmy Carter? Anybody remember him? Yeah, there's a lot more people in this crowd that remember him than in the other crowd over there at the other church. Some of us were born a long time ago, and we remember him. I remember him. I was 13. I remember him when he ran, and y'all remember where he was from?
Georgia,
that's right. Peanut farmer from Georgia. We'd never had an outsider like that. And he won. He won by being Mr. Nice Guy. And one of the interviewers in an interview that he had asked him about his faith. And he said, well, I'm a born-again Christian. And people were like, you know, our news media, they didn't know what to do with that. They'd heard of a Catholic Christian or a Protestant Christian or an Episcopalian, but they'd never heard of that before. What kind of Christian is that? And so it became the conversation. In fact, on Newsweek or Time Magazine for that week's interview, what is a born-again Christian was there. And today I want to talk about that, because the term born-again is mentioned three times in the New Testament, and it's mentioned in our story here that we'll have. So Tom, if you'll bring our scripture up this morning, it's from the book of John, chapter 3. It's a coming. There you go. It's coming. There you go. It's behind me. I was keeping looking up there. It just says 1109 out there. All right. Anyhow, here's our story. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, well, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered him, are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. That whosoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. For whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. There you go. That's where you find the term born again. If we could go back to that very first slide, John 3, we'll start with the first verse there. I like to break it down. Nicodemus is a man who is very religious. He is a Pharisee, we find out. And so he was a man who was an authority on the Old Testament scriptures. He knew the law. He knew the prophets. He knew it very well. He memorized much of it. When people looked at him, they saw a man that was scholarly, and he had answers when no one else had answers. And yet there's something strange that happened to Nicodemus. He ran into Jesus. He had been hearing about this guy. Maybe he had seen in John chapter 2, we read the story of the miracle of the wedding at Cana, and where Jesus turned the water into. Okay, so y'all remember that story. Some of y'all might have even been there that day. You remember Jimmy Carter. But anyhow, he has heard of Jesus, but Jesus does not fit in his boxes. He said, we've seen these signs that you do. God's with you, but tell me, what does any of this mean? And it's interesting that, go back to verse 1 again there. He says, you know, you're ruler of the Jews. When he had authority over people, people were looking to him for answers, and he just couldn't explain Jesus to anybody. He couldn't understand it himself. Jesus went beyond what he understood. Now, how many of y'all are parents? Don't y'all have all the answers? Your kids thought you did, and some of them still do, don't they? And then some are debating that right here in the front row. You know better, all right. Yeah, but Nicodemus has all the answers. The parents have all the answers, and then we find out one day we don't have all the answers. And he's here, and you know, a lot of folks in this world, we are really encouraged to think with logic and reason. Everything has to be based on what? Facts are all that matter, and facts. But aren't there a lot of situations that just go beyond the facts, that go beyond our understanding? From what we see is not everything that's going on. There's much more going on many times in life, and Jesus is so different from what this guy's expecting. He knows that prophets, many times their messages were authenticated with miracles in the Old Testament time, and Jesus has had miracles and signs, and yet he just can't figure them out. You're not what we were expecting. You ever thought that about Jesus and God? And that's not really, I thought it was this way. And some people have just delegated Jesus and all this just to a religion, something that's a set of teachings and precepts that people put in their head, and they just keep there and they hold to that. And that's all that it is. It's something for the head, something for the mind. But Jesus has come to do much more than give us things to think about. He's given us something. In fact, he promises, I give you new life. In fact, he said, you can't come into the kingdom of God unless you're born of water and the Spirit. Look at that verse there again. Maybe verse 5. There you go. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? You know, think about this. He's hearing all this, and it just doesn't make sense. He's arguing with Jesus in a way. This doesn't make sense. It goes beyond logic. And yes, it does. Yes, it does. But Jesus has so much more to offer us than just what can fit in our boxes of understanding. He's greater. If we can understand everything about God, God's pretty small, isn't he? He's full of mystery and power and wisdom beyond anything that we can imagine. And his ways are not our ways. And sometimes the things he does just don't fit. Nicodemus is having a little problem with that. Maybe you're having a little problem with God. I thought you were supposed to do all these things and make my life easy. I thought you were supposed to bless me. I thought you were supposed to give me all these things. I thought, and Jesus saying, listen, I got more for you than that. I'm not who you think I am. I'm much more. He comes here and he's arguing, I can't be born again. He says, you're missing the point. Look at the next slide. Truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, and some people say, oh, that's about baptism. But it really wasn't, because the institution of baptism was not known at the time of this. But he, being a good scholar of the Old Testament, should have known what Ezekiel the prophet had said. In fact, I think there's a slide here, Tom, for this in Ezekiel chapter 36, I believe it is. Can you bring that up for us? I'm making our guy back there work hard today. Give him a raise, church. We need a raise. Tommy was nice. He didn't say amen, but he does. This is what the prophet said. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you, and I'll give you a new heart and a new what?
Spirit.
And I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. He promises so much more. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. This is something that should come to his mind. The cleansing of the water. He says, I give you a clean heart, a living heart. It's not that heart of stone that's just clogged up with all the laws and rules and histories that you know, and yet really doesn't have any living value. Because it's just for your head. Your heart has to change. You have to repent and turn to me, and I'll give you a new heart. I'll cleanse your heart and make you a new. That heart of stone, that heart of I can't be touched by this. Oh, that's for somebody else. That's for the kooky people or the weird people or the religious nuts. And you, and many times he was trying to avoid getting in real and serious about this. And maybe some of you've been like that. Oh, this doesn't make sense to me. And it's so distant, so hard to believe, and yet it's so simple. It's so simple. God comes to give you a new heart. A new heart. A new heart. A clean heart. And one that has a heart, a desire to follow him. Unless you're born of the water, that cleansing water, and now the Spirit, his Spirit working within you, you can't be born again. It's a decision you make. He has been speaking to many of you in your hearts. He's wanted to tell you, I'm much more than you've ever thought. See, Nicodemus had lots of answers, but there was still something in his heart that was missing. And that was a relationship with God. He had a relationship to God, but he had a relationship with God. And Jesus is saying, you have to have a new heart, a clean heart. A pure heart, and my spirit must work with you and be in you. Nicodemus was challenged to become a new person. And it's interesting, this was very hard for him. And think about this, he's the man with all the answers. And when does he come to see Jesus? At night. Why? Afraid of opinion, wasn't he? He was afraid. He had questions, and he came to Jesus. And it's interesting, Jesus had time for him even at night. Jesus didn't say, come back tomorrow when it's more convenient for me. I need to go to bed. Jesus will listen to you anytime and come to you anytime. And Nicodemus comes, and he has these questions. And he's sincerely asking. It took a lot of humility for him to come to Jesus. For him to basically say, without even saying it in the words or at least in the text, I thought I knew, but I'm seeing I don't know it all. I'm missing something. And he comes to Jesus, and Jesus talks to him. Unless you're born again, you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus argues, he wrestles, he's having a hard time processing this. And then Jesus tells him, simply believe. That verse you remember in Bible school or Sunday school, for God, so what? Say it with me. Loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. You've got the smart life, Nicodemus, but I'm going to give you the eternal life. I'll give you more. I'm so much more than you think I am. Some of you might be like Nicodemus. You might think you've had all the answers. Things have had to make sense. Everything has to make sense. And if you're waiting for everything to make sense, you'll wait a long time. Because he's so much more than that. For he tells us, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are higher, my thoughts are higher. We trust him. We trust him because of what he's done for us. He gave himself for us to give us eternal life. For whosoever believeth in him shouldn't perish, but what? Have eternal life. For God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world. I love that song. He is with you. He is for you. God wants everybody to experience this eternal life. He wants everybody. Some people say, well, when I clean up my life, when I stop sowing my wild oats, I'll get serious about it. You know what? You keep saying things like that, and you'll never do it. Last week, I attended and actually presided over a memorial service for a friend of mine, 6 months older than me, and died under mysterious causes. And there were people there at the funeral, and I remember when I was a teenager, we witnessed to them and shared with them, one of these days, we know what we got to do. We know what we got to do. And last week, after seeing them, some of them I hadn't seen in years, they're still waiting. Don't be like them. Don't wait. Keep waiting and waiting and waiting. The songwriter used to say, if you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. But I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms. And how true it is. He comes to offer us that kind of life. He comes to offer us himself. We accept that gift, or we reject that gift. God says, I will change you from the inside out. I'll give you a new heart. So many times people are trying to reform themselves. But what happens to reformation most of the time? If you can't remember what happens, just remember what you said in January. I'm going to lose weight. And what happens? Yeah, I said it too. Yeah. Reform doesn't come easy. But guess what? When there's an inside-out change, when Jesus is on the inside, we start having new motivations in life. We discover our true purpose for life, that we were not given life so that we can just, you know, get all the gusto we could for ourselves or get all the thrills that we could for ourselves. We live for God's glory instead of ours. We surrender our will to him, and we say, God, here's my life. Use it. Here's my life. Make me different. God, here's my life. You do a better job of leading it than when I take charge. We follow him. The word born again is used three times in Scripture, two here, and then one in 1 Peter. The word is also, sometimes we call it becoming a Christian. But the word Christian actually is only used three times in the New Testament. Did you know that? And most of the time, that's to distinguish the Christ followers from the people of the world. The words be saved, sometimes people say, I was saved. Maybe you thought, that sounds really kind of extreme, but that's exactly what it was. We were saved. We were brought from death to life in Jesus Christ. That's what happened. What could have happened to Nicodemus that day? Cold on the inside, heart of stone, but what could have happened? He could have gotten new life that day. He could have gotten new life that day. He could have believed. It's just that simple. He could have trusted Christ in the message of Christ. But it was very hard for him. He had a lot of knowledge. Think about how he would lose face in the eyes of the public by going and following this untested, unproven wizard from up there in Nazareth somewhere. He's not from our pedigree. You mean me? You mean Mr. Teacher of the Law who knows everything? You'd go and leave that all behind to follow him? Think about the immense shame it would have been. How could he have explained that to anyone? He was scared. And he knew the truth even that night. It was an inside change where God would cleanse his heart and give him a new heart, a heart with a love for God and a heart that wanted to live for God and not just for himself. And Nicodemus walked away, and that is sad. But there is good news. Maybe you haven't seen this part of the Scriptures. In John chapter 19, verse, I think it's 36 or 37, we read that Jesus, on the day that he's crucified, has endured a lot of shame himself and has suffered, and his followers are all scared and about all that's there, John and the weeping women, and people are beating their chests, and it's just a day of mourning, and yet Christ's followers are running scared because they're afraid for their lives. They're afraid what will happen to them because they were associated to Jesus. But there was a man named Joseph of Arimathea and another man. It was that man. Nicodemus stuck his neck out, and they went and got the body and wrapped it and prepared Jesus for burial. Scared to come to Jesus, had to see him at night because he's scared. And now he's willing to be tarred and feathered or whatever they did to people that were associated with Jesus. He was willing to pay the price. Something on the cross that day convinced him he was what he said he was. It started with that conversation. Actually, I think it really started in Nicodemus' life even before the conversation, because when he saw Jesus, he had curiosity. When he heard about Jesus, he wanted to know more. That conversation he first had with Jesus here, he didn't believe at first, but he couldn't forget. He couldn't forget. It was so gripping to him. He held on to it. And on the day where Jesus' own disciples weren't performing very well, Nicodemus comes out of nowhere and says, "I'm here. I'm with him now." If someone asks you, "Are you born again?" I hope you can say yes. I trust you can. If you know Christ, if there's been a new heart that's come, if you've asked Christ to wash away your sin, give you a new heart, a new life, a new purpose, under his lordship and leadership. I tell you, you're born again, whether you knew how to say that word or not, or whether you ever used it or not. Some people are afraid to use that term, thinking people just look at them weird. So what? Aren't there a lot of weird people in this world already? And aren't they weird for causes that are far less wonderful than Jesus Christ himself? I mean, there are people in this world that are absolute kooks, aren't they? They are terrible. I know, we shouldn't be judging at church, but they're kooky anyway. But why? But we're afraid of opinion. Those people aren't afraid of opinion. Why are we afraid? Why are we afraid? We shouldn't be afraid to stick our necks out for Jesus. We shouldn't be afraid to surrender our lives to Christ and get a new life. When I was in the seventh grade, that's a long time ago. Anybody here want to go back and live in the seventh grade again? No, why do you say that? You didn't have any bills back then. Yeah, that was true. Okay, that was about the only good thing. All right, yeah. Seventh grade just is it's trauma, ain't it? Well, I was in 1975 to 1976. I remember we were celebrating the bicentennial that year. We were having a presidential election that year. We were having the Olympics that year. And that year, a friend of mine from school, I had two friends. One was a friend that went to church with me. My mom was a Sunday school teacher. But he was a fickle friend. You know what those are? Two-faced. He'd be my friend sometimes at church and wouldn't be my friend anywhere else. Got tired of that. So one of my other friends said, "Why don't you come to church with me?" All right. I went, thinking I was just going to church and getting away from fickle friend. But as it turned out, there was something there I hadn't seen before. That youth group was something. There was love and there was something real going on there. I didn't have. They had a relationship with God, and I didn't have that. I didn't really know how to get it. But I kept watching. I kept thinking about it. I kept asking myself questions. I was trying to find what makes them different. I talked to my friend a little bit. He had a hard time explaining it, but I didn't give up. And that year, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I found Christ, and I was born again. It was just like Nicodemus. At first, it took a while to get used to that. I didn't know how to have a great vocabulary for it. But I came home and I told my mother, today, and I was after church. I didn't go with her that day. I was about over here on the second row over here. And we had a hymn of invitation at church where people could come forward if they'd like to receive Christ. And so I did. But you know what? I think I received Christ before I ever walked up there. And the reason I believe that is because I told Christ right there, "My life is yours. I'm going all the way for you. My life is yours." That's surrender. That's surrender. God's not looking for fancy prayers. He's looking for the prayer of your heart. Just the simple words. I didn't have vocabulary to really tell my mom what happened that day. That's the best I could come with. Today, I became a Christian. And that day was March 21st, 1976. So yesterday, I turned 50. Don't I look good for 50? Yeah. But I laugh at that. But you know what? It's really great. Maybe you won't remember the day or the time or the hour. A lot of people don't. But they know they surrendered to Christ. They gave themselves to Christ. They knew that Christ gave them a new heart, cleansed their hearts, and gave them a heart with a spirit. When the spirit is in us, we don't live for ourselves. We live for him. Are we perfect? We are not. But you know what? God is full of grace to his disciples. Sometimes it's one step forward, and it seems like, you know, we just, like the elevator drops out, doesn't it? And we're falling down. But yet God in his grace comes down and picks us up. Not to condemn us, but pull us up and get us going again. That is God in his grace. God doesn't come, and I can tell you, at no experience in my 50 years of following Christ have I ever had God say, "You again. Here you are again. Haven't we been through this before?" Now, my parents, who knew everything, they would say that. I probably would have said it to somebody, too, if I had had any kids. But I didn't. I never said it. But, you know, he doesn't lose patience with us. He's always working on us and making us more and more like him all the time. When you look at the people that Jesus worked with in the very first century, when you look at them, really look at them, were they the picture-perfect people that you would put on your team for anything? They were imperfect folks. But Jesus loves to work with imperfect folks and change them from the inside out. Have you been born again? Have you been changed? Or is it just all religion to you? Or ideas? See, some people think God is just far away, but he's right here. And he said he'll come within us. His spirit will come within us. And we won't feel so distant anymore. He'll be there, giving us new life, giving us new direction and purpose in our life, giving us ear to hear his voice, to know the difference between sin and righteousness, and to grow in it. And even on those days when we fail, and we do, he's there to say, "I love you. Let's try again. I forgive you. Let's keep going again. I'm here. I'm not going to leave you or forsake you." The word born again is three times. The word Christian is three times. Being saved, that's a lot. The word believer is used a lot. But the word used more than any word to describe this experience is the word disciple, becoming a follower of Christ. Have you become a follower of Christ? Not merely an admirer of Jesus Christ, not just someone who believes in him in your head, but through your heart. You trust him with your life. That's what the word believe means. The Bible tells us that, you know, you believe in Jesus, and believe in God, there's a God, great. The demons believe that too, and they tremble. It's not just intellectual assent. It's heart change. It's when you surrender, believe that he can make you new, and that he will, and that he will give you eternal life. And those that come to Jesus, he said, "I'll never cast you away." God is just looking for an humble heart. An humble heart. They'll say, "Lord, I'm yours. I believe in you. I trust you. I'll follow you." Let's bow together. Can I ask you this question?
Hey friends, thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope that this message connected with you and inspired you. Please reach out to us on social media or through our website. We would love to know if this is your church family. If this message meant something to you, please share it with someone that you know or you love, or share it on social media. We know that it would be so much better with you here, so much better with the whole world, knowing of God's great love for all of us. Have a great week. Be blessed.